In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's readings, especially the Old Testament and the Gospel, are kind of the things that horror movies are made of. Zombies and the Walking Dead, which is not my genre of entertainment. But it's hard not in our modern minds to kind of picture the Valley of the Dry Bones being brought back together, Lazarus walking out of the tomb, and not picture the countless movies filled with scenes like that. This vivid picture for our imaginations this morning is one that we can kind of step into. This vision of Ezekiel's of the Valley of the Dry Bones. It makes me think of that scene in The Lion King, where Simba has gone past the borderlands, and he and Nala end up where the Valley of the Elephant Bones are. If you've seen Lion King, no? Really? It's not one of those scenes that you remember unless you're weird, like me. So anyway, in The Lion King, there's this valley full of elephant bones. And okay, so there's some moms shaking their heads. Thank you. So The Lion King was really popular, I guess, when I was in high school, so I watched it a lot. And I guess they don't do it in the musical theatrical production necessarily, because, you know. Anyway, so it's a valley full of these elephant bones. And in this scene, of course, it's this kind of dark moment in the movie where he's disobeyed his father, and he's gone past where he's supposed to be, and there's this valley of just big elephant bones, and it is just dry and dusty and kind of dark and eerie looking. And the bones are huge, of course, because they're elephant bones. And they're out where they're not supposed to be, and they encounter some real ugliness in those funny little hyenas, right? And the only thing that saves him from being eaten alive by the hyenas is his dad, the big roaring lion, coming in and saving him. And it was weird when I was reading this week and somebody else said that about the Lion King, and I was like, immediately, that's it. That's what that vision is this dry and dusty place where it seems like nothing could live. There are no plants. There's no vibrancy. It's just dead and ugly and full of bones. And so it's not too hard for us to picture that. But what we need to understand is the basics of the story, the historical context for the prophet Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is called by God during the Babylonian exile. And like other stories of exile, this one begins with the elite, those in power from Judah, being forced out of the city by the Babylonians. And then a little later on, there's like a second wave of exile. And then the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed. So for the exiles, it wasn't just that they were physically suffering outside of their norm. It wasn't just that they had lost their identity of living in Jerusalem as a people. But everything that they knew that connected them to their faith was destroyed. The destruction of their temple, their community, the Davidic monarchy, everything that they counted as a connection to faith in God and God's presence with them was destroyed. And so these people are people that are just full of despair. They're not in their homes, they're living in a strange land, there's strange spiritual practices going on. Everything they knew was gone. And so it's into that time of desolation and hopelessness that God gives Ezekiel this vision to share with the people. And we're told that God shows Ezekiel the brokenness of the people in these dried out, lifeless bones. And God leads Ezekiel around them. He doesn't just show the dry bones to Ezekiel from one perspective. He takes him around so that he sees all of the brokenness and the disjointed, lifeless bones. And then God asks, "Mortal, can these bones live?" what we know of ancient cultures teaches us that oftentimes in our scriptures, bones is used as a metaphor for really the deepest self. So what God is saying and pointing out to Ezekiel is these bones, the deepest parts of these people, the deepest part of this community is dead and barren and completely dried out. There is nothing left to them. But can they live? Can the broken and the hopeless live again? And the prophet answers and says, "Oh Lord God, you know." And there's a little part of us that wants to read that and think, well, he's just making sure he's covering his butt. Right? The prophet is saying, "Of course, God, you've got this, no trouble at all. Dry bones, you can handle that." But what we know of the prophet Ezekiel is that he was multiple times pointing out the sinfulness and the lack of faith among the people in exile, because he was a faithful person. The book of the prophet Ezekiel is full of these kind of fanciful visions that are ripe for nightmares, but at the same time, beautiful pieces of scripture. And so Ezekiel understands that God is capable of bringing new life where man would say there is no life. God is the source of life, and that through God, even the bones, the hopeless, those who have abandoned their faith, those who think that God no longer loves them, that those bones, those people, and that community can be restored. God says to Ezekiel near the end that the people say, "Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely." They believe that God has abandoned them in exile. Their faith isn't just shaken. They're not just questioning God's presence. They are completely and utterly broken people. And I think many of us can identify with those feelings of those individuals. Many of us are probably people who have lived through seasons in our lives in which we felt spiritually dry, that our relationship with God was completely lifeless, dead, to the point of abandoning our hope. Pretty much all of us have been down the path of abandoning hope at some point, led there by broken relationships, disappointments, derailed dreams, unemployment or stressful employment, unwise choices and bad behavior, dark nights of the soul, the grip of addiction, accident, illness, and death. That idea, that feeling of abandoning all hope is almost what we hear in the words of Martha and Mary this morning. "Lord, if you had only been there, my brother would not have died." That's the cry of our people, right? When we're in those moments of grief, especially tragic grief, all we want to say to God is, "If you had been there, something different would have happened." But we know that God breathes new life into the dry bones, and that even in our lament, which is what the people during Ezekiel's time are doing, when they're saying, "Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely," they're lamenting to God, which is the same thing that we read in the beauty of the psalm this morning. Right? "Out of the depths I have cried to you." Out of the depths of our loneliness, our abandonment, our sense of all hope is gone, we cry to God. And luckily for most of us, we don't stay in that place of feeling hopeless. Most of us are able at some point to regain a sense of hope. But here's the thing. This vision to the community about being breathed new life into it, the power of the Holy Spirit, is in order that the people will obey God and be drawn closer into relationship with God. When we find ourselves in that space where it feels like there's an impenetrable darkness, whether for a day, a week, a month, or even longer, and there's that tug to abandon all hope, this is what Ezekiel's vision is for. It's to help us remember that when we lose heart, when we feel like we are suffering the death of our very spirit, God is still there. God says, I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you will know that I am God. God breathes new life into that dried out community in order that they might live more fully. And as resurrection people, we always say we are Easter people because we believe that through the power of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, through baptism, we are called into that resurrection life. We are called, I think, in a very real way nowadays, to be kind of like the prophets, to be like the prophets, and to call down the Holy Spirit to breathe new life into community, into individuals, and into our world. The collect this morning, I loved it because it says, grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promised. That among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. We are called to be people who desire what God promises. And today, the promise that God is making is about breathing new life into us as individuals and into our communities. We are called in those moments of life sometimes to be the person praying for the other person, to have the Holy Spirit fill them. And then there are times when we ourselves will find ourselves kind of in that dusty, barren place of life where we so desperately need God to bring us up out of it. There are times when we need the Holy Spirit to breathe new life into us and into our community. And this is God's promise to us. God's promise is that even if all you can feel right now is emptiness and despair, that hope itself is too much to even manage, God promises that the ruach, the breath, the wind, the spirit will come and breathe life into you once again. And so if you're in that dry and dusty place, don't be afraid to lament like the people did this morning. Call out of the depth of your brokenness and despair to the God who breathed the breath of creation into you. Call out to the God who rebuilds the broken, who takes the bones and brings them back together and covers them piece by piece and breathes a fresh breath of hope into them. Because no matter how dead things might seem or feel, God's breath of life can revive. And then, when we're on the other side of things, what the gospel teaches us is that we are to embody Christ in real and tangible ways for others. Real and tangible ways that demonstrate to them, to people who have abandoned all hope, just how much they are loved. So my friends, be witnesses. Be witnesses to the resurrection that you have experienced in your life. Be witnesses to the coming out of the dry places that you have gone through. And be witnesses to the fact that God is a God of abundant life. And that with God, the impossible becomes possible. Amen.